So that is the music of Kirk Franklin introducing our next guest, Miss Marla Thorpe, here with us in the studio all the way from none other than Jacksonville, Florida. So good afternoon, Marla, and welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
We're glad that you would take time out of your day-to-day and to join us here on the station. And so, Marla, you know, one of the great things that we've been looking at about you and your career over the years is that you have taken on this exciting role of being a sous chef. Now, that is quite a venture and quite a career. And let me tell you why we were looking at it, Marla. So for years and years and years, African-American women had been working in kitchens and been cooking and had been doing an excellent job, but they were never able to really get into some of the main kitchens and cultural venues around the country because they were not members of unions. And what we found out is that African-American women could not even join a union until 1938, 1939 to hone their craft and to become the professionals that they were. But you, here you are now, this African-American woman who now has the title of a sous chef. So tell us how you chose that field for yourself.
Well, Pamela, after I left school, I decided I was going to go into sales. And I had a very successful tenure as a sales representative selling computer systems, and then I moved into cellular sales back in the day when cellular phones were probably as large as a suitcase, and plans were sold by the minute instead of what we have today. But it came to a point where I decided my daughter, we lost her husband, my husband died, she lost her father, and I decided I wanted to be able to spend some time with her because I felt like those were the most valuable years that I would have before she decided to go off and have her own friends and her own life. And a cousin of mine said, well, what would you really like to do? And I thought about it. And I said, well, you know, I would cook even if I didn't get paid for it. So he found that there was a new Le Cordon Bleu culinary school opening in Orlando. And he asked me, he says, go ahead and look into it, which I did. And I got accepted. And so I said, okay, here I am at this age, I'm going back to school, but I wanted to get the foundation, the technical training. I wanted the paperwork to support that I had been in school and knew what it was really like to go through a formal culinary training. So I did that, and I was able to come out, and part of my externship that you get when you finish culinary school was with a chef working at a hospital here in Jacksonville, and he was a great mentor, and he pushed me really hard. Always forced me to try and be my very best. And, you know, so I got into cooking, and I love it. Even with the 12, 14-hour days that you endure standing on your feet, at the end of it, I still enjoy what I do, and I've worked really hard. So as a result, you know, I've been able to progress and go through the ranks. And I went to New York, and actually I was able to get a promotion to a sous chef position, again, working with a chef who took the time to mentor me and, you know, really teach me not only the basics of cooking, but also managing staff.
So now, Marla, tell us a little bit, where did you get your training as you began to develop your career as a sous chef?
I got it at Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School in Orlando, Florida.
So now, while you were there, were there any other or many other African-American women who were also pursuing that goal and career in the culinary field?
That's really interesting you asked me that, because out of our class, that we only had 12 women in the class, and the majority were all men. And we had over 100 people in our class, and you're talking about 12 people in a class, 12 women.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, what that tells us is what we've been looking at around the country, I guess, that there are fields that women have not been able to go in or have not been going in, even if they have the skills and ability to develop them very well. But let's go back and look at you. So you graduated, you were there, I think, was that in about the year 2000? And then you graduated from there, and so you now have this wonderful title as a sous chef. And so how are you using those culinary skills now?
I right now I am in a program at Brookdale Senior Living where I am considered a management pro temp, and I travel from facility to facility where they have a staff shortage. Either they don't have an executive chef or they don't have a dining director. And in my role, I go in and fill that spot until they are able to hire somebody to take over.
Now, how does that work going to these various places, and how are you able to use those skills, and how do people appreciate the great skill and cooking ability that you're bringing to them?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because the different facilities vary in size and in the number of staff that they have, and also the number of residents that they have in that community. So in some, you may go where they have maybe six cooks on staff, and then I go to somewhere, essentially, there's one other cook and yourself. And so you do everything from washing dishes to prepping to ordering food to preparing the meals, talking with the residents. So you're pretty much it until they can get some, an adequate staff hired.
So do you have a conversation with the residents of the facility where you are? Do you talk to them about the foods that they like? And what if the foods that they like don't think they're good for them? Then how does that work?
Well, we have a corporate nutritionist who prepares the assistant the selection of the foods that are listed on our menus. So we know that we will prepare nutritionally complete meals for each of the residents, regardless of what diet needs that they might have. For some who have, you know, no restrictions, we've got food for them. For people who have special dietary needs, we're able to prepare a really good meal.
So one of the things that I can tell you, it sounds like as more and more baby boomers are aging and moving into areas that are for independent living, for example, I think it sounds like it's a new wave to have a sous chef on staff to make sure that there are meals that people like, because they don't have to cook for themselves anymore, but now they have these amazing people to come in and prepare great menus for them. Are there certain types of dietary items that you find you have to exclude, or that are staples within the items that you cook that have to be excluded when you are at places like the facility you are working in now?
Actually, what we try to exclude are we minimize the number of fried foods, things that are greasy. We tend to do more fresh produce, and we do seasonal menus. So whatever vegetables or fruits that are in season, we tend to gravitate towards those. We tend to do a lot of, lean meats, chickens, turkey. We try and, again, we're very concerned about making sure that we meet their nutritional requirements, but at the same point, it has to be flavorful, and it has to have eye appeal, or else, nobody's really interested in that. So because we all eat with our eyes first. So we try and make sure that, one, it's a beautiful plate when we put it in front of them, and also that, once they taste it, it's flavorful and they want to come back for more. Because as a senior, the most important thing at that point in your life becomes, what am I having for dinner? What am I having for lunch? So we try and make sure that we exceed their expectations in that respect.
So now, Marla, I think I've been knowing you for many, many years, and you've been a good cook even before you went to culinary school. So my question is, you started out doing things other than something that you've absolutely now really love. And so how did you determine that you were ready to go back into something that was important to you? I know you said you wanted to do things even if it meant you weren't going to get paid because it was something that you liked. But there must have been a moment, an item, an area that said, it's time for me to go back into this area of cooking because this is what I love to do.
Well, part of that, Pamela, I was looking at, okay, around that time the economy was in crisis, and I was thinking, okay, what is an inflation-proof career? And people always have to eat. No matter what the economic situation is, we want to eat. And I said, why not do what I love to do? This is an inflation-proof career.
And so that was, you know, that was a major factor in it.
So now, what advice do you have to somebody who would like to become a sous chef and follow in your footsteps? Because now, Marla, you are a great role model for people who want to follow in that career.
Well, I thank you for saying that. What I would say, Pamela, is one, make sure that it is definitely your passion. My daughter gave me a quote, and when I think about it, wow, it is ideal. She says, you know, Mom, this really sounds like you, and it was, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful, by Albert Schweitzer. And I said, that's really it. So if you want to go into that career, be prepared to have the stamina. Be prepared to take the criticisms and rise above them. Do your best. And just learn everything that you can. And also, don't just limit yourself to being within the confines of the kitchen. Because in the culinary field, there are so many different areas that you can go into, whether it's food styling, whether it's being a personal chef, whether it's doing specialized diets. You can actually go from that to become a certified nutritionist. So there's so many avenues. So I would just tell somebody, look at everything that you can do that involves the presentation and the production of food.
Now, you mentioned you have a daughter. So is she at all interested in the culinary field?
From the receptive end. When it's, Mom, what are you cooking? Mom, when are you coming to cook for me and my friends? or texting me and saying, Mom, I want to cook this meal. Can you send me the recipe real quick? So she is a good cook. So she enjoys cooking, but that's not going to be her field.
Well, that sounds like my children, Marla. It's not that I don't even think they are cooking. I think they're passing the information on to somebody else, and hopefully somebody's doing it for them. But, you know, as you were growing up, who were some of the role models that helped to form your career goals and your career values?
Without a doubt, I have to say the most important person has always been my mother. My mother always told me that there was nothing that I couldn't achieve if I was just, she always said, oh, you're very determined, so you can do whatever you set your mind to. If you set your mind to it, you can accomplish it. And she was a very hard worker. I mean, I remember times when she literally, Pamela, worked three jobs, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, and 11 to 7 as a nurse, to put me through school and to keep our life going. So that work ethic certainly was passed on to me.
So now, you know, one more item that I wanted to ask about. Now, this is just only because it's my own curiosity. I know you're talking to us from Jacksonville, Florida today, but you indicated that you are often up in New York. Now, do you find that the people, that there's a difference in culture, in taste, in food in Jacksonville, Florida, which is considered more in the southern part of the state, and then all the way up in New York? And I'm not sure what part of New York you're talking about, but what kind of cultural differences in food are you finding there?
Well, I'm actually in the heart of New York. I'm in near the Financial District in a place called Battery Park City. So, and then if I contrast what their requirements are to, let's say, here in Jacksonville, Southerners, we still tend to like heavier foods. We tend to like a lot of fried foods. When I prepare fish in New York, they tend to like things that are broiled or baked. Here in Florida, I'd say they want fried things. They like fried foods. So, you know, it's a gradual thing to try and get Southerners away from those traditional foods, even in preparing some of the staples for our diets, using smoked items to cook for them, to season products with, or using vegetables, fresh produce. New York has a great supply of produce. In fact, I find that they have better produce than I find here in the South. So I'd say nutritionally, New Yorkers are very keen on what they eat, and they tend to want healthier foods.
Wow. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marla Thorpe, a sous chef, all the way from Jacksonville, Florida, joining us here in the studios at KUNM. And so, Marla, tell us, of all the things that you cook, what are your favorite foods?
Actually, my favorite foods are crab cakes and fettuccine Alfredo and fried rice, or, you know, Asian dishes. So it's sort of a mix there.
Wow. Now, that is a mix, I would truly say. Let me just tell you, my favorite food is something you're telling me that we need to stay away from, but I just love fried corn. That's a Southern delicacy for me, and I cook it as often as I can and make sure that I don't overeat it.
Oh, you know, that's funny. It is delicious because it's also one of my daughter's favorite
foods. Oh, my gosh. Well, Whitney, I just want you to know that we have something in common. We both enjoy fried corn. And for those of you who haven't tried it, you're going to have to get in touch with Marla Thorpe in Jacksonville, Florida, to figure out how to cook it correctly. So, Marla, are there any other great words of wisdom you'd like to share with us about culinary arts, and particularly about any type of barriers that women might face, you know, as they are getting ready to go into a field, particularly African-American women? How do they absolutely watch out for those barriers? And I know you've given us some conversation in that area, but give us some last words of wisdom.
Well, Pamela, I think the most important thing is when you go in, set yourself apart. Be very professional. Work hard, work smart, and show people, demonstrate that you have the stamina. Because one of the things that I think is a misconception about females in this field is, oh, you know, this is too heavy for them. They can't be on their feet this long. It's very stressful. So you have to demonstrate that you can handle that, you can conquer it, and you can get the job done. And I think once you do that, you'll earn the respect of the males that you work with, because it's still a male-dominated industry.
That is really good advice, and thank you for sharing that with us. So we have been joined having a conversation with Marla Thorpe, a sous chef down in Jacksonville, Florida, an African-American woman who's taken her career forward using her culinary skills. Marla, thank you for joining us here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and on KUNM Radio, and we look forward to having you joining us again in the near future.
Thank you, Pamela, so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.